Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hey there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet. So we have a beautiful guest today, Heather Ashamara, and she is the author of this beautiful book that I just read called The Warrior Heart Practice, which really kind of calls on her background in of the Toltec wisdom, European shamanism, Buddhism, Native American stuff. She's kind of put this together. She's really trained with some amazing people, so I'm super thrilled with her book. Her book is so beautiful and so heartful. It's called The Warrior Heart Practice, and it's really about this inner journey that we can take towards inner healing and peace through these concepts of feeling, story, truth, and intent, which make up the four chambers of the warrior heart according to this Toltec tradition that she's immersed in and that she now teaches. So it's really it's a beautiful book. It's so heart-centered and so delicious and so nurturing. So thank you so much, Heather Ash, for being with me here today.
You're so welcome, Lisa. Great to be here with you.
So how did you come about writing this beautiful book? Tell us a little bit about what brought you. You have a fantastic background in the training. That spiritual training that you have is so interesting, and I wonder if you could even start with that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, I've been blessed with really incredible teachers. So I was raised in Southeast Asia, traveled around the world as a kid. When I first came to the States to go to college, I felt really disconnected. And I got into politics really big for a couple of years and realized that wasn't it. And then I started studying different spiritual traditions. So my most recent teacher, I was studying European shamanism, and then I had a dream about somebody. And that person ended up being Don Miguel Ruiz, who's the author of The Four Agreements. So my work is a blend of European shamanism, Buddhism from being raised in Asia, and then Toltec wisdom.
Wow. That's very cool. And this book, The Warrior Heart Practice, what happened to you that sort of distilled things down into this moment where you could understand these things and write a book about it?
Well, it came from, you know, really 30 years of teaching and working with people, but it downloaded in a moment. I was talking to a dear friend of mine, and he was telling me a story of pain and of struggles that he had in the relationship. And I would reflect back to him the truth. And you know, I kept saying, honey, that isn't actually what happened. This is what happened. And he would then feel better. And then a couple days later would come back to me with the exact same old story. And so the third time that this happened, I just opened my heart and did a prayer and said, is there any way that I can help this human? Like, I care about this human so much. Is there any way I can help him to stay in the truth? And this process dropped into my being, fully formed.
So wow.
Practicing it and playing with it over the last 6 years. And it's been a phenomenal tool to help people get free of their stories and find peace.
Yeah, it's really like a beautiful, because I think, you know, when you've done some spiritual work, you know that we all know we need to find a way to process our feelings, and we need to find a way to calm the thinking, sort of the crazy monkey mind thinking that we do. And I find that a lot of people know they know how to do that, but they don't know how to do it. And what I loved about your work is that you really offer a very effective, practical, easy, powerful way to actually do it. And I think we're all striving for that. So tell us about this Warrior Heart Practice.
That was exactly my desire, was to make it really practical and to get it out of the concept of doing things and act into the action. So it's based on four chambers. And just like the four chambers of the heart, all the chambers are incredibly important. They all work together. The first chamber is the feeling chamber. And whenever you're triggered or upset, you start with asking yourself, what am I feeling? But separate from the story. What's happened is most of us have tangled the story and the truth together. They're like tied together in a knot, and we're learning how to separate them out. So what am I feeling? To go towards your body, towards the feelings, and name what's happening. And just sit. You're not trying to change or fix the feelings. You're just being with them. The second chamber is the story chamber. And the question is, what's the story I'm telling myself? So you start really looking at your thinking, what thoughts, what beliefs, what's going on in your head. And you want to do that in a way that you're not editing or trying to make it better, but really looking at what you're telling yourself. The third chamber then is the truth chamber. And in the truth chamber, you learn how to differentiate between the story and the truth. And most of us think we're telling the truth, and we're just writing a better story and calling it the truth. Mm. In the truth chamber, one of the hallmarks is, one is that the truth is always really simple, one sentence, and that you can also feel it in your body. And then the fourth chamber is the intent chamber. That's your focus. That's your, where do I want to put my energy? And your intent is one word. So you can see as we go through the practice, it gets simpler. And then you have your intent and you do what I call circling back. You take your intent back to the truth chamber to see if there's any other truth that you can see. And then holding the hands of your intent and your truth, these two new allies and guides, you then go back into the story chamber to look at the story in a new way with new eyes. And then we always close in the feeling chamber because we're really learning how to listen more to our body. And what I found from people doing the practice is that as you start to clean up the story and learn how to be with your emotions, is that you end up being more clear, more creative, more open, a lot more compassionate with yourself and with others.
It feels like a very integrative process, like somehow we're, these parts of us are sort of split off from each other, or maybe they're arguing with each other. They're not in harmony, and this kind of going backwards and forwards through these. I love the going back through the process that you described. Seems like it would probably really integrate and make friends, like you said, and allies of these parts of us, because we can't get rid of them. We can't have a, a selfectomy and sort of cut these parts off, but we can maybe through this process, integrate them and make them more friendly.
Yes, that's exactly it. It's really having them be friends again, rather than just enemies, which a lot of times, different parts of us aren't talking, we aren't talking to different parts of ourselves, and we just don't know how to separate them out.
Yeah.
You really see this process is like, if you have an engine that's not running well, you want to take the engine apart, clean the parts up, and then bring it back together. And that's really what we're doing in the Warrior Heart practice, too. Mm-hmm. Cleaning.
And can you give an example of what this looked like? I thought you did a beautiful example of the flower, the vase breaking in your family when you were little. If that's one that works, or a different one, so we can see this process kind of working in action.
Yeah, absolutely. I can give a story that happened to me, which for me really helped me see, oh my God, this practice totally works. So I've been in a friendship with a person for a long time, and we started to think about possibly dating. But we had spent a couple of years being friends and just getting to know each other. And so at a certain point, I decided I'm in. Yes, I want to see what's here. And he decided at the same time, no, I'm out. I don't want to be in a relationship with her. And so we were in Mexico for a class together, and I was waiting for him to show up, and he walks in the door, and I'm all excited, like, yay, I really want to go into this relationship. And his response to me is, I think there's somebody better for both of us, and I'm attracted to somebody else here. So, just the quick background, I spent a week watching him fall in love with somebody else. It was really challenging. And so I used the Warrior Heart practice, and what I found is when I went into the feeling chamber, what I felt was disappointment. Mm. That was the main feeling. So I just sat with the disappointment, noticed where it was in my body. And then the story chamber, there was all this story about, I'm never going to have another partner, and they always fall in love with younger women. This has happened a couple times with me previously. And I can't trust people and all this stuff. So that was all the noise in the story chamber. And I just sat with the story, and then I went to the truth. And the thing about moving to the truth chamber is that you have to wait for the truth to bubble up, because you might be trying to make up another story, but you have to get quiet. So I got really quiet and I waited. And what bubbles up is he gets to choose. That mm-hmm. was true. He got to choose who he wanted to partner with, period. Mm-hmm. And I waited. And then the next piece of the story was I get to choose. And that was huge. I was like, right, I get to make a decision of what I do now. And then my intent was love, unconditional love. And I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I knew that's what I wanted to bring in. So then I went back to the truth chamber and went back to the story. And I was feeling into the story, because there was also a resonance of an end of my marriage that was similar. So it was tweaking all this other stuff in me. And as I sat with the story and just waited again, how do I bring the truth into the story? How do I unravel it? What I got was, I'm getting a PhD in letting go. You know, the universe loves me so much. I'm getting this PhD in letting go, and I get to choose how I do this. And all of a sudden, this something that could have been very challenging and taken me a long time to unravel, it just completely fell apart. So I just laughed. I'm like, I'm getting a PhD, and I'm going to nail this. Mm-hmm. And when I went back to the healing chamber, I still felt disappointed. But I was able to just be with it and feel that was an old feeling. It felt like a really old feeling. And it just, as I sat with it just went away for a couple of days. And literally that took me 15 minutes.
Wow.
Ravel. Yeah. Something that was taking me months before.
Yeah, taking you months and would have been like, that would have been like such exquisite agony if you had to stay for a week and watch this person, you know, watch that unroll with all those stories. It would have been like torture. So to clear something with that much charge to it in 15 minutes, that's remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah. And there, you know, there's still definitely ups and downs, but the majority of it dissolves in that moment. And it was really beautiful. So it's, you know, I've had a lot of practice doing the warrior heart practice and doing different techniques. But at that moment, I was like, this works.
Wow.
And we found that it works really well for people like around a lot of issues, finances, body issues, chronic illness, works with children. So it's a really practical way to get more to freedom.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I love the distinction between the stories and the truth, because I think until we do a practice like that, we really think our stories are true, you know,
yes,
and the stories are just like, we don't know. Yeah, the feelings are our feelings. And we think some of us are really think our feelings are true, like that our feelings or mm-hmm. our feelings are, it's not that they're not true, but we can be like over-identified with them. And we think that they are, that is us, you know, or we think our stories are the truth. And so I love how you separate your feelings are your feelings and your story is your story and the truth is the truth. And they're not always, they're all valid and important, but they're not always the same.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Super cool. Wow, that was a PhD.
Yeah.
And how does it work with people that are really in trauma, like people who have had serious trauma? How does it work in those situations?
What we found is that trauma is in the nervous system. It's not so much the story, it's how the nervous system responds to a situation. That the best place, if you're in trauma, is to actually start in the truth chamber. So if you have trauma in your body, to stop and ask yourself, what's true now? And to be able to say, I'm in my kitchen, I'm washing my dishes, I'm safe right now. So that helps bring you into the present. Why you don't want to go towards the feeling or the story is that can just keep the trauma going and re-traumatize. And so we're wanting to help people get out of the trauma so that they can then start to work with the body. And,
right.
and once you have your truth, you can go to your intent and then go back and look at the story and the feelings. That really helps people that have PTSD or traumatic situations in their past.
Yeah, I can see how that would happen, because if you start with a story or the feelings in your sort of, or in that kind of like jacked up nervous system place, you know, PTSD, that might amplify the resonance of those instead of, and the truth, it seems like it grounds you in kind of in the present moment in a mindfulness kind of way even.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Why do you think it is that people have such a difficulty discerning between the, their stories and the truth?
We're so habituated to tell ourselves stories, and a lot of times we're telling ourselves stories because our mind wants to be right, and we just fill in information. We don't have all the information, and rather than going, huh, I don't know, and having the spaciousness of waiting, our minds have this habit of filling in data. And we're in a time now where a lot of our stories are through the lens of victim or judge. Mm-hmm. And that creates a lot of drama and a lot of suffering in our lives.
Yeah, and it can be, the stories are often, like, the seeds of them are planted in our early childhood. You know, we don't even remember, you know, that you may have, like, I'm not worthy, or people only love me if I serve them, or these, you know, somebody likes my sister, my parents like my sister better. You talked about that one in your book, you know.
Yes.
Those become, like, the background, like the air you breathe or the water you're swimming in that feels like truth but isn't.
Yes. Yeah. We so often don't even realize we're in a story until we step back and look at it. And that's such a beautiful part of the practice, is helping us to really name, this is a story. It may not be true. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes a while to be able to step out of it, because we're so convinced it's reality.
Right.
But rarely it is. You know, if you're in reaction to something in a big way that looks like you're reacting to the present, often it's something from the past.
Right.
That hasn't been cleared out yet.
Yeah, Carolyn Mace talks about truth with a little t and truth with a capital T. And the little t truth is like our subjective truth, you know, and that... And the big truth is the, you know, the large T. And she says as she gets older and older, she finds there's less and less things she believes in with a capital T. And that so much of it is our subjective experience. I love the story you talk about in your sort of your explanation in the beginning of your book about the little soul and the big soul and what happened, how the little soul is really like the inner child part of us. I just thought that I've done a lot of inner child work, and I do that kind of work with other people. And I have, I just thought your explanation of those things was so simple and elegant and easy to understand. And I'm wondering if you could talk about that a little bit.
Thank you. Yes, each of us has what we call our big soul, which is the part of us that's connected, that knows its life, that doesn't feel separated, that's love. Really, it's the part of us that's love. And the little soul is the part of us that feels like it's separate. It's our personality or our ego, we can also call it. A lot of different traditions call these different things. If you can imagine that when we're born, the big soul and the little soul are connected. And I think it's like they're holding hands. And the little soul feels really comforted and really safe. And that's why kids are so amazing at how creative and expressive and just pure love, because they're so connected so strongly to their big soul. But at some point, we start learning and believing we should be different. We start making up agreements and beliefs and trying to be something else, or trying to get love from the outside, or trying to be perfect, whatever we do. And the little soul then gets disconnected. And the image I have of it, it's like if you're like a 5-year-old and you got lost in the mall and you couldn't find your parents, how freaked out you would be. Is what our little soul's like often. It's a scared part of us that's creating all these rules and this identity and these agreements of, okay, if I just follow these rules, or if I just show up in this way in the world, I'll be safe. And the truth is, the little soul could reconnect with the big soul at any time. The big soul hasn't gone anywhere. The little soul's just looking in all the wrong places. So what we're really learning how to do is to embrace both. Each of us has had big soul moments where we know that we're connected, where we feel totally integrated and whole and joyous. And we want to love that part of ourselves and connect to it more, and embrace the little soul and console and talk to the little soul, not let it run the show, basically.
Right.
But also not try and push it out, as you said. You can't just cut parts of yourself off. It does not work in the long run. May it look like it's working in the short run, but it does not work in the long run.
No. No, and we don't want to cut off that part of us, because, like you said, it's like the part of us that is like you know, that the animal that's in the body that's here to have pleasure and be creative and experience the world in a way. Like, we need both of those parts of us. And I just thought it was such a beautiful, and elegant and simple and powerful way to look at that. And it did make me wonder in reading that whether this method, the warrior heart practice works well with kids. Do you use it with children?
Yeah, we found that it works really beautifully with kids. You can start teaching kids really young about their feelings, especially using pictures. And it's also really good with adults as well in terms of the feeling chamber of giving them a list of different feelings so we can start to be more educated around our feelings. And with kids, you can also start teaching them, talking to them about what's the difference between a story and the truth. Like, what are you making up in your head versus what do we actually know is true? And so you can help them start building the skill set to honor and feel their feelings without getting it tangled in the story, and also to start to separate out the story from the truth.
Yeah, I had a Buddhist teacher who I worked with when I was pretty young. I was in my 30s and dealing with a lot of anxiety, and he taught me this practice called facts versus fiction. Facts versus feelings. That's
nice.
What it was. Yeah, and I carried around a little notebook. I literally did in my whenever I would feel that anxiety coming on, I would write down the facts. These are the facts. This is what's going on. And then write down the feelings on another page. And the feelings could be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Be like pages and pages of it. And then I found as I attended to my feelings, it's like giving them attention and love and care and a form of expression, then I would go back to the facts and be like, okay, to begin to make that distinction between the two of them. And that's what did it for me. Since I learned that technique, I've really never had to deal with anxiety before, and it seems like this, you have, that's only two of the stages really that you're offering in this 4-stage program. So I love that you're adding in these other, you know, things about you know, truth and intention. So can we talk a little bit about intention? And that was a piece that was missing to me until I read your book. So tell me a little bit about that stage.
Yeah, that fourth chamber is really about what's your focus? Where do you want to put your attention? And it's not, you know, I want the other person to behave this way. That's not intent. So your intent's about what are you going to bring to the situation? Mm. And I think about it as your North Star. When you're trying to untangle a story, it's really easy to get caught back in the story or to start spinning out. But if you have an intent, if you know, I'm focusing on compassion, or I'm focusing on bringing love to the situation, or I'm focusing on gratitude, and it can be any word, power. That one word then allows you to have both a little bit of distance from the story, and also helps you to see how to navigate going forward. So if your word is compassion, your action might be really different than if your word is truth. For example, so let's say that I'm in a situation and my word is compassion. I might go back to the story and realize, wow, I've been judging this other person for their behavior and taking it personally. But the truth is they're really hurting. And so having that intent of compassion can help me to open my heart. But maybe my intent is truth. And so going back through the chambers and then bringing truth into the story chamber, I might look around and realize, wow, I'm not speaking my truth. I want to bring my truth into the situation. And so that might be a different action then. Mm. So it helps us to navigate in a really clear way and stay steady as we're unwinding the story.
Yeah, that seems important, because you could, if you had too many intentions at once, you may not know how to take a powerful stand or to take action or to have the coherence that you know that you're really describing in the whole process.
Yes, it's such a great word, coherence. And it's true. Sometimes people are like, well, I have 5 words. And I'm like, pick one for now. Mm-hmm. You can do the other 4 later. But then it does give us something very tangible to put our attention to.
Mm-hmm. Super cool. And what is your hope? Like, what are you hoping for if you can bring this out into the world and people can embrace it? What do you envision might happen?
My prayer, my vision is that we can all untangle more of our story so that we have more spaciousness. Because when we're not in the drama and the suffering, we naturally go more towards love, more towards compassion, and our intuition opens, and we're able to be in action in the world in new ways. I feel like there's so many things in the world where we need action from love, and my hope is that this process will help people to be able to really bring their gifts out into the world.
Hmm. That's perfect. And how can people find this? I know that you also do your warrior training. Can you talk a little bit about that, and also how people can find your work?
Yeah, one of my first books was called Warrior Goddess Training. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of workshops around that and train facilitators. And I'm also starting to train facilitators on the Warrior Heart Practice and do different offerings. And really, it's all about empowerment and having fun. One of the things I like reminding all of us is it doesn't have to be super serious. Like, let's enjoy the journey as we get more and more free on the inside. People can learn more about the work at heatherashamara.com. And I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram as well.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you, Heather Ash, for being with us today on the show. And thank you so much for writing this beautiful book. I really think it's great. And I hope that everybody finds a chance to reach you and read your work, because it's so yummy. It's so delicious.
Thanks so much, Lisa. I appreciate it.
And thanks all of you guys for joining us today on Empower Radio. I'm Lisa Campion, and you can check me out and my work here on my website, lisacampion.com. So stop by and visit there. And just wanted to send you all a big thank you for joining us today on here on Empower Radio.